the Trainer. MTT is Michelle the Trainer.
Good morning and welcome to episode 4 of the International Women in Film Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle the Trainer. Today's very special guest star is my dear new friend, Ashley Maria, who has a few films under her belt. She lives in Los Angeles, lives and works in Los Angeles. And I'd love you to take a look at, we're going to speak mostly about her production in production, Pioneers in Skirts. But a little bit more about Ashley Maria is that she has other films on her director's website, Pioneers in Skirts, of course. She also has a BPW history film, a very fun reel for Volcano Girl, and she won the Directors Guild of America Award in 2010 for a film called Friday Night Fright. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Let us know if you have any questions. I'm excited to follow Ashley Maria's work in Pioneers in Skirts, as I'm sure you will. And have a great day.
Hello, I'm Jessica Sittimer, the Green Light Coach, and you can find me at thegreenlightcoach.com. And you're listening to the International Women in Film Podcast with your host, Michelle the Trainer.
Aloha and welcome to episode 4 of the International Women in Film Podcast. I am your host, Michelle the Trainer, and today we have our very special guest star, Ashley Maria, from the upcoming film, Pioneers in Skirts. Ashley, tell me everything.
Hey.
Hey.
So, what would you like to know?
I want to know everything about how you got started. I know you're in Los Angeles, so when did you get started doing films? I know you've done a couple before this, so let's start where we started.
Okay. So, I'm from North Carolina. That's where I got the bug for filmmaking. And I went to UNC Chapel Hill, where I interned for ESPN and Current Television. And I knew I wanted to make movies forever. And I studied for 3 years to get my Master's of Fine Arts and call myself a real educated filmmaker. And then I decided to just keep making movies as my career. And that's what I've been doing ever since. I've made a few short films, and those went on to win some pretty great awards. I won the Directors Guild of America Award for my short film, Friday Night Fright. And then I started to notice that I was considered a woman director constantly. I wasn't prepared for that. So that, in combination with a lot of other assumptions that were thrown on me, a lot of people calling me things that I wasn't prepared for, made me realize that this industry, not just the film industry, but many industries in general, were not ready for women to have an equal role. So I started making this documentary film called Pioneers in Skirts based on my own story of realizing that there are gender biases still at play, even in the year 2015, that keep women from reaching their full potential. So I wanted to use my own story and then also the story of other women like me who felt the exact same way, and sharing a personal side to figuring out what do we need to do as a society to overcome these gender biases, these pressures, these stereotypes that keep reoccurring generation after generation.
Yeah, and I am really hoping, and of course, I do not want to, don't think I'm trying to propagate that by having a specific International Women in Film podcast. The reason I created International Women in Film was primarily actually because I have a friend, Dave Bullis, who is not a female, who has a filmmaker's podcast, The Dave Bullis Show, and he and I work very well together. So this was a way in which we could support each other. Where did you work first when you first noticed this? I noticed that you spoke in the trailer a little bit about sort of a confidence blow after a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing to be told, you know, this is really important for you to be a woman and a filmmaker because there are so few. Like, there's one side to it that is very encouraging that, you know what, hey, I am in a place where I can make a difference. But then on the other hand, when I walk into a room and people just assume I'm there because I'm dating one of the men in the room or because they think I'm just an intern, you know, I mean, I've directed many productions and often the PAs think I'm there as an intern, you know, and I think, no, this is actually my deal. you know? So there's, on one hand, it's so great that there are women groups because we're all supporting each other and sharing these stories that don't get, we don't hear every day. And on the other hand, it's, you know, it's needed because there are so many people out there who do belittle us without them even realizing it.
Yeah, there's some of that that's absolutely ingrained. And today is a very exciting time, I think, and part of the reason that I took this on, I'm not in the industry, but YouTube, the internet, you know, the gatekeepers are kind of gone, and it's a lovely time to be seen and heard and encouraged to create and have projects and be defined by projects we've created and things that we've done. It's like the Ask Her More hashtag at the Oscars was a very powerful thing because women we do stuff. We create stuff and we're creating stuff all the time and men create stuff all the time. But yeah, there are some gatekeepers and we're seeing less and less of that. So it is a lovely time to support each other in just getting stuff done.
Yeah, I'm very happy that it's become about the work. You mentioned the confidence issues that I talked about in the video that you saw. Those issues were mainly people taking my personality and telling me really that my personality wasn't working. So calling me things like aggressive, that broke my heart because I knew I was anything but. But these people ended up saying, you know, I considered you that way because I've never actually worked for a woman before. And I'm not used to them being so assertive or knowing what they want, really. But the thing that tore me down is I heard it so much that I started to think to myself, maybe I wasn't working. Maybe my personality was harsh. And that's where you can just totally lose yourself. And that's when I knew, no, something else is at play here. I need to figure it out and I can't lose myself because I want to be here. This is the industry I want to be in. So I got to figure out what do I need to do? What do other people need to do so that I can have a successful career and other women can have successful careers. Other assertive women can enter a workplace and not feel like people think they're the dreaded B word, you know?
Yeah, and absolutely. And projects like this validate women being assertive. And again, it's part of just getting stuff done. You're at work. Of course, you want to get stuff done. A non-assertive person would probably do nothing, right? And starts that negative self-talk that nobody wants. And everybody wants somebody to validate their confidence and their skills and their abilities and their gifts and their creative flexibility to some degree. Like, I don't ever expect somebody to... to embrace all of my creative flexibility, you know, but I think having people that are inflexible and will start to throw labels at you, I think for anybody is just a drag. And I think that those of us who are a little creative, we tend to work better with people who are a little more supportive. And so having these external, you know, we have a lot of validation and, you know, you've seen it in movies. You watch a movie that makes you feel really good, right? You know, like I used to love to watch The Quick and the Dead because, you know, Sharon Stone was so cool. She's such a, you know, a cool like female superhero icon. Those are sort of empowering things. It's, you know, it's just really nice and really validating to know that there are other people out there that say, yeah, you know what you're doing is really cool. Go do it. Go ahead. We love it. Oh my God. I mean, that's huge. So the film itself, tell me more about Pioneers in Skirts.
The documentary film follows me primarily as I search for why these biases still exist and then how we can overcome them. So it's not just about women changing themselves. You know, it's not just about us gaining confidence. It's about the environment itself changing. It's about people who advocate for women and what they need to do in order to change the perception and the attitude towards women in the workplace. So it's not that women aren't confident and are broken. It's just that we need to figure out what we all can do together so that women don't feel like they need to just constantly change. So the Pioneers in Skirts follows my journey as I talk to a lot of experts about this and also a lot of women who have overcome these obstacles to see what they did in order to overcome it. And then we talk to male advocates who try and are aware of the situations around them so that they can support women who are trying to have their voice heard. And then we meet the women who are we call them our characters. So the women who are right now doing the best they can to have the careers they want And so I'm showing you, hey, we're making this movie so this person can be successful in whatever they choose to be. So we meet 14-year-old girls who are robotic engineers. And the thing is that I am so similar to them. I was just like that at 14. So I don't want them to enter their career and have somebody tell them that they're too aggressive or that they're wrong. You know, their personality doesn't fit. And then we meet a woman who is having, she's, you know, the having it all story where she is having her career and a baby and a family. And so she was actually terrified to tell her boss that she was pregnant until she got her raise that she deserved because she was so nervous they wouldn't give it to her.
Sure.
And so that's just a storyline. Those two storylines, because my story isn't the end all be all, you know, there's so many different ways to look at this one particular topic of how do we overcome together these gender biases that have been repeating themselves forever. So we're going, we're telling the story through these different characters' eyes and then splashing you with some facts and figures so that you know it's, you know, this is genuinely happening and it's happening to women now.
Yeah, I read you have a great write-up in Forbes.com. And you talked about the men thing. It said, men are our advocates, quoting you, we shouldn't be the only ones fighting for ourselves. Women should encourage their male coworkers to be aware of all opinions and be vocal about supporting colleagues of all genders. This means that women should look for male mentors and sponsors along with female ones. The movement for workplace equality shouldn't be a man-bashing thing, says Ashley. That is you.
Hello.
It's all about how we all work together. And, you know, it's totally true. And you know, corporate might just breed some of this antique mindset just from the nature of being corporate and sort of antique. I stole a line from The Walking Dead where the lead character says, are we, you know, are they smart for then or smart for now? And I think there's a difference. The world is changing. Again, things like YouTube got rid of the gatekeepers for women making film and being on video and being in front of people and having a voice that is, I mean, look, I'm talking, you and I are talking on a microphone on the internet. That's like amazing, right? I mean, who's going to give me a microphone and the internet? I mean, that is, believe me, I don't know that.
If you quote The Walking Dead more, then you know I'll be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a well-written show about hope. About hope and togetherness and survival. I think that's really the endearing thing that brings us in. I'm not a real like zombie fan, right? But I'm brought in by the camaraderie, the diversity, and it's hope and survival of adverse situations. To me, that's what it is, and I love that. I think that this is going to be a great project, and yeah, being self-aware. Can you talk a little bit about self-awareness?
Yeah, I like to tell people, you know, I started out this film, I was lost when I started it. I wasn't sure what I was going to find, and I didn't know what I was going to find within myself. And I talked to a lot of women who talked about being self-aware. So being aware of the situation around you, how people are perceiving you, specifically how they're reacting to you. Even to this day, I am in situations where somebody will say something to me, and I immediately, I'm like, okay, I know they're saying it for this reason. I know they're not trying to hurt me. I know something's going on, so let's figure that out. And so it's more of a way of not taking things so personally and understanding it's just the situation. So that's something that I actually learned from Kat Cole, who at the time was the president of Cinnabon, and now she has become the group president of All Focus Brands. So she really helped me realize how to be just in the situation more, like I said, more aware of the personalities that are all in play, because everybody has their own goal. Everybody has their own reason for being there and what they're trying to accomplish. And so I've changed so much since the start of this film of taking things so personally. Today I experienced this where I said, okay, this doesn't involve me. It's something else. So let's figure it out. You know, let's not take it home and think about it over and over again. Let's just figure it out right now. And that's something on my personal journey where I had to become that, especially if I want to be a leader in Hollywood. I have to be able to differentiate between those situations. So I'm very proud that I've been able to do that through the making of this film. And we're going to show people that transition.
That's an awesome takeaway. So you're talking about your approach in general is more like unbiased and
exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And so then on the other, I always say on the other hand, so I'm going to, I have many hands apparently. Coming from the point of view of someone who is walking into a room and they see something going on. So they are aware that how this person is treated is inappropriate or isn't their fault or something like that. Sticking up for them. Knowing that you have value in that space, so that this person who is doing the negative act or whatever it may be, maybe they're cutting somebody off constantly in their conversation, just being aware that, hey, you know, I can stop this person so that the other person can have a voice. Let me do that. Let me show them that I can hear them. You know, it being aware of the room and the conversations, especially again, if you're a leader, because it starts with the leaders. Everybody can want to change, but until the people who can really make an impact try to change, like the people who are running the companies and running the rooms.
Not let other people get talked over.
That's just one example. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
No, it happens. It happens, you know, and it does depend on the situation how, you know, sometimes you can just tell somebody, you know, please stop.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, but please stop.
Like in those situations, I know I would have felt like, hey, I'd be mean if I told this person to stop talking over me. But if the boss said, hey, Ashley had a really good idea, let's go back to what she had to say, then that gives me the credibility that shows that the boss wants to hear what I have to say. So everybody needs to stop talking over me. I mean, that's just one example of being aware of the room.
Yeah. And that's gender unspecific because that, again, in corporate could happen absolutely to anybody.
Yeah.
Totally. You know? So yeah, it's just a matter of being able to have a voice and being, I mean, career is sort of an interesting word too. Business is not personal, right? Business is still business. So it's not like, I don't think people are looking for any special personalized treatment, but there are things that you start to notice in your journey in the workplace. Yeah. That can really take you out of an empowered creative space. And it's really a drag because we really need innovation. We really need to encourage and foster innovation in these trying economic times. We need all skills and all hands on deck, empowered and, you know, encouraged. And, you know, yeah, and then you have the kids. So you, like you said, you were coming out of school. Which school did you graduate when you had your first job?
USC, the University of Southern California.
Yeah, so you must have been totally full of vim and vigor.
I was ready to take on the world.
And you still are. So,
oh, yeah.
So where is the film now? Tell us. Now, we're recording this.
Yeah.
Today, you know, right now it's August, but this podcast may not release until end of fourth quarter. Tell me where do we think that the film will be, say, around the holidays? Where do we think the film will be by the beginning of 2016? Where's it at? Tell me the journey of production, like okay. A high level view.
So the end of this year, we'll see the end of production, hopefully. With documentaries, it's a lot of hope and a lot of hard work. So a lot of the people who are working on this film are doing it in the free time that they can give the film. So we're trying to make it as fast as we can. Hopefully by the end of 2015, we will be nearing the end of production and close landing on a rough cut. So that means by 2016, we will be fine-tuning the cut and then transitioning into post-production sound design, music, titles, and credits. And then looking to premiere the film. Our goal is to have it out by mid-2016. Again, that's a big hope. Like, all ducks fall in a row. Let's make it happen. That's what we're hoping for. That's the plan as of now.
And then the release plan, will it release to festivals or will it release Netflix or what's the plan there?
Our goal right now is to have it go to festivals to gain the attraction of distributors. That is the normal route for independent documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the distributor who will decide, does it go to VOD? Does it go to Netflix? Does it go to Amazon? We would love to do an educational release. So I'd love to go to colleges and to high schools and middle schools and screen the film and talk about it there, do a nationwide travel with it. I think that would be awesome.
That would be really awesome.
And then DVDs, of course. But I hear that people don't really watch DVDs anymore. Apparently it's all online. I don't know.
I think we have become more in the United States streaming. I think if you want international distribution, which would not, you know, be bad. I think that, yeah, because you can't get some of our streaming services here. We can't get without a really big proxy workaround. You know, even in Canada and Mexico, sometimes it's a little bit trying to get, you know, Amazon or Netflix or some of the other services. So who else is on the team, Ashley?
Let's see. So we have the producer is Leanne Burst, who is also my mother.
Oh.
So when she realized that I was going through this weird time of will I, won't I be a success in this film industry, and when we realized it was because of all these biases that still exist, she wanted to jump on board and help me make this movie because she wanted me to have the career I wanted, and we both wanted to prepare the next generation for it. So she's jumped on, and she's a marketing strategist, so she's been great at getting the movie out there. Then we have some college students, some from my undergrad back at UNC Chapel Hill, and then some just from across the country who believe in the project, who volunteer to help us get the word out about the film. We have a huge team in Texas that is helping. There's just a lot of people, like I said, who are just giving their time when they can to get the word out. I think me and Leanne are the only ones who are really full-time making this film, which is, again, just the norm when it comes to independent documentary filmmaking.
And of course, we want to encourage all the listeners. I'll give all the data on the show notes so as much as we can get the word out there. I just think, I mean, again, I was driving down the street the other day, just tripping out on how, you know, the car and the road and the street lights and the names of the streets. You know, I have no idea if a woman was involved in any of those decisions. And that blows my mind. You know, I mean, maybe they were. I don't think so. I never got the memo. I went to school and nobody ever taught me that. So it's you know, I mean, we share the globe. I mean, you had a good car story. Share your car story.
Oh, sure. Mm. So one of the experts we talked to was Lucy Sanders, the CEO of the National Center for Women and Information Technology. So she spoke with us about those gender biases that women face, specifically in technology, but it is definitely across the entire spectrum of women in the workplace. So she was talking about getting more female engineers down the pipeline to help design products. And she said, for example, in cars, in the driver's seat, you probably noticed, and she looked at me because I have many hairs. I have so much hair. She's like, you've probably noticed that the headrest at the back of your seat is just awful when you put your hair up in a ponytail. And I just started laughing because I'm like, if that hasn't been the bane of my existence, I don't know what has. Like, I always have to have the car.
And it's really bad on your neck. It's really bad on the cervical spine from an ergonomic perspective. It's terrible.
So she was just laughing. She's like, clearly that wasn't designed by a woman. And I just remember feeling like, oh my gosh, that's so right.
It's really funny. Maybe we could recruit some male bun advocates. The male bun has been in the news quite a bit lately. So, you know, you're not the only one with a lot of hairs. So tell us how we can find you. I'm going to grab this article from Forbes and put that in the show notes. I think it's wonderful that you got Forbes to pick up Pioneers in Skirts and promote it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we're offering solutions. That's the really big difference between all these different programs that are out there. We're offering the solutions and in a 75-minute film that people can watch and share and learn from. So I think that's why Forbes was attracted to us, because they knew, hey, we're going to make a difference.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so you can find more about Pioneers in Skirts by visiting Pioneers with an S in Skirts with another S .com. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. And then I'm on there as Ashley Maria on Twitter. And I always talk back. I'm definitely a talker. So interact.
Follow her. She'll follow you.
Woo!
And then staying curious. Tell me about your thoughts on curiosity.
On staying curious?
Yeah. Why should we all stay curious?
I think we're never done learning. We're never done figuring out what we're good at. So I think it's good to stay curious and figure out why things happen.
I know. Isn't that the most exciting thing? I mean, that's really why I do this podcast. I'm not a woman in film. I want to learn from people like you who are doing cool things that are really complicated projects. I think it's really awesome. And the technology, and again, the fact that we have the internet, you know, and yeah, we want to make sure that we're just not creating another box.
Hey, like I said, the support means the world to us because we are trying to just get this information out there, again, the solutions, and we're working so hard. And so it means the world to have your support. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And let's talk soon. We'll do lunch soon and we'll talk about Ashley Maria. There is an ashley-maria.com where you can see more of her work as a director. She's got her director reels, her other films. She has a BPW history film. She has a really cool little trailer for Volcano Girl. She has her award-winning film, Friday Night Fright. Anything else you want to share, Ashley?
I post really fun pictures on Instagram. So it's Ashley Maria on Instagram.
Oh, let's follow her there, too. All right. Thanks so much for your time, love. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Find us at michellethetrainer.com. That's michellethetrainer.com. Read Michelle's blog posts at engineeringwellness.com. Tweet at Michelle Trainer on Twitter. That's michelletrainer. Or email the International Women in Film Podcast at iwif@michellethetrainer.com.